I am unashamed. What about you?
On the front of your hat there, that right there started exactly when I was 28.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the guy...
I was 28 years old.
Well, the guy that...
God told me that God became flesh and his name is Jesus. He was crucified on a cross, was buried, raised from the dead. That's the message.
And he came
every
up...
Every Sunday morning, that's the message I give them. And everyone, every time I do that, they want to go down there at that baptismal pool. We baptize them and send them on their way.
Well, you remember Smith... because Jason's got his hat if you're watching. So he would take a little, he would do a little thing of like a baptistry square around those middle three.
Yep.
Because it's a reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah,
just
cool.
Explaining baptism, which was pretty.
So that originated from Bill Smith.
He's William H. Smith.
And that thing now has gone ballistic if you look at it.
So if you're listening, you're joining the podcast mid-conversation because we do two podcasts in one session.
Right.
And the last podcast, we had a podcast named The Podcast That Never Began because I told about these interactions that I had with people who were pushing back on some of the things we talked about. But the second thing that happened when I was on this trip to Nashville to promote the movie Unsung Hero, which I'm asking you to go and watch, because one, you'll be inspired. It's about family.
Yeah, it's out now, so go watch
it. But family, from a family of believers, is really God's idea. I mean, he is the architect of families. We understand families because we're created in the image of God. And can we call him a family? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So, Zach, you've now been deemed the scholar.
Is it okay to say it's a family?
Yeah, I think so. And I like a relationship.
Don't think so. Say I know so.
Well,
yes.
I get cautious when I try to start talking about how to describe who he is. But I will say this though, that I just now realized that we were in the podcast when I did not know we were filming.
That you are here.
Zach, you're with us.
We're doing it now.
But I didn't hear anybody say start. Like, how did y'all know we started?
You were waiting for Maddie's
we wanted to start.
Melody of 3, 2, 1, but she pulled a fast one today. She just cranked in.
So no, did y'all have cues? You were looking. How
we were looking
at
her. We knew.
I looked at her, and she gave the little finger saying, this is good. Do it. So what I was going to say is last podcast, we spent the whole podcast answering arguments from the viewers. But another thing I did, I wore this same hat, and you'll see it from the picture of Missy and I at the premiere of Unsung Hero, because I wore this hat, because I have to have a hat.
Yeah.
Because my hair, I'm having a bad hair decade. And so...
that one came from our good buddy, Brian Robinson. He sent us some of those, so...
So in between the few arguments I had, I did share Jesus with four or five different people because of this hat. I went and played golf with my sons. And so when I went in there to pay, and I didn't have my club, so I had to rent some clubs. And this woman said, "What's that hat all about?" And I thought, because I'm in,
oh boy,
at a golf course. Because when I got out of the vehicle, the guy that takes the clubs, he said, "Where's your clubs? You're going to need clubs." And I was like, "I'm going to rent them if you have them." And he's, yeah. He said, okay. He said, make sure you got your shirt all the way tucked in. So I looked down. I thought it was tucked in, but I, adjusted it. So I'd already had that altercation.
So they had a dress code.
Oh, yeah.
They do.
And he was letting you know that some people just don't belong.
Right. I don't think he liked the beard. So look, same thing happened. The woman at the check-in, she said, "What's the hat all about?" And I kind of hesitated because I thought,
am I doing something?
Wear hats? But then I realized I was wearing this hat because you don't realize what hat you have.
Like the famous story, Willie was on number two at Augusta National playing at where the Masters is held, and some guy drives a cart all the way out there and hands him a hat, and he thinks, "Oh, well, thank you for that." Like the guy was going to give it to him. He said, "Sir, there are no bandanas at Augusta National." He was wearing his little red, white, and blue bandana. It's like, "Sir, we don't do that here."
That's funny. Which, by the way, shout out to Scotty Scheffler. Yeah. We're good friends with his caddy, Ted Scott, who loves Jesus. I shared Jesus with this woman because I explained that I took the hat off and said, well, see, here, Jesus, he came down to this earth. You know, he died on the cross for the world. He was buried, resurrected. He's coming back one day. And she said, that's really fascinating.
So then she looked at your hair and said, please put that hat back on.
Exactly what happened. So then I go to the starter. So they have a starter, Phil, on a golf course. He tells you, you can go. If y'all could have seen Phil's
Dad just rolled his eyes. That was
I didn't make the cut on that.
So
speaking of the starters, do you remember Mr. Perry that used to be the starter at Chenault and we used to play years ago?
I do not, Al.
Oh, that guy. You know, you hit one, you top one, the first thing, you'd go to T1 up, he'd be, you play it where it lies, son.
Yeah.
Play it where it lies.
No two off.
No two off the first seat.
So he asked me what the hat was about, and so I went through it again, and my son Reed said, boy, you got a pretty good deal going with that hat. I said, yeah.
It's a walking billboard.
Here's what's funny is that guy, so his response was, he said, what are you, a preacher? I said, nope, I'm a believer. And he said, well, what's the difference? And I said, well, I think in your case, it makes what I just said more appealing. Because I'm not getting paid to tell you that. He said, that's a good point.
That was a good line, Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'll work. So if you do that. So another guy in the airport who was literally a motorcycle gang member came up to me, and he looked like a motorcycle gang member. He had the leather jacket,
the big boots. His
beard made my beard look like a shadow.
Yeah, had a long back on it, probably.
He
was a hairy man and a large man, and he come up.
They like to put a lot of rubber bands in their beards, I noticed, and like squeeze them off, make little symbols. And
so he said, if I ask you what that hat is about, are you going to tell me the good news of Jesus? I said, I sure will, but I see that you already know what this hat means. And he said, I do, brother. He said, I lead a motorcycle gang for Jesus.
Look,
now I'm telling you, if you saw that guy right now, you would run. And so that just.
I saw one last Sunday morning. He said the same thing you said. Yeah.
Yep.
So he said, well, I usually wear a button that says, ask me. And he said, you'd be amazed. That's all it says. A-S-K, me. And he said, you'd be amazed at how many people say.
Ask what?
What's that about? And he said, we're doing the same thing. But he said, yours is a little more complicated. Mine is, if you have the nerve to come up and ask me, I'm going to tell you about Jesus.
I'm just wondering, though, the way you described this this motorcycle man for Jesus, how many people thought, I'm not asking that guy anything. He may beat me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what I thought. But look, in the moment, I didn't want to bring that up, but because he did look like he could hurt me. So those were the more positive conversations, although I don't mind being challenged about what we talk about here. Zach brought up a very interesting thing about our viewers. Or what award did we get with the top five people who only listen to one podcast? Somehow
Out of all the podcasts. Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
It's good. Well, it wasn't an award. It was just an observation from the industry that we have a unique audience.
We have very loyal listeners, which I would concur with that, even not knowing that, just because of my interaction with them. I mean, they are listening and taking it to heart and questioning, you know, which is what Jay, which by the way, we say this all the time, sort of tongue in cheek, but now after we're into the second podcast here, this is why we like to send Jay's out, because he will come back with stories. And just like when we talked about on a couple of podcasts ago, when we hurt our backs, you know, both on the same week, Jace's stories are always much more fantastical.
Well, I was actually doing something.
Yeah, I mean, chasing down goats.
Well, so was Al. He was lifting up his foot.
I was doing something, too. I was trying to watch my foot.
He did lift his foot off the ground, Jace. I mean, he wasn't just sitting around. You know
what
I mean?
That's right. Wasn't like I was getting
off the ground. How many inches did you get off the ground with your foot before you felt the pain?
Not far, Zach. Not far. I didn't stretch. Apparently now I have to stretch before showering. So,
well, I would also recommend stretching before you go chase goats.
That's true. Do some, because you never know where that's going to lead you.
So you'll know it'll hurt some more before it's over.
Well, you know what? When you told that story, I thought about Phil. I said, Phil's 75 years old, throws his back out. How'd you do it, Phil? Well, I was lifting up a boat. Al's 55, throws his back out. How'd you do it?
I'm 59, Zach, but 50, thank you for
59?
That.
Are you 59?
Yeah,
okay,
thank you
well,
for shaving, if you will. Yeah.
I lift up my foot 6 inches.
Lift up my foot, trying to wash my feet and pull my back. But I'm good now, though.
I mean, but Phil lifting up a boat by himself at 75 years old is... I mean, that's kind of a beast move. You know what I mean? I got respect for that.
Dan was with me.
But not a wise move, Dad.
Not a wise.
Don't do that.
I haven't done that move anymore.
It was bold and manly, but just not very wise.
There's a last time for everything.
That's exactly right. Hold my water and watch this. All right, let's take our first break. So, Jace, with all your... past hunting trips, the old duck call videos and things like that, as well as what you're doing with the treasure hunting, have you ever found yourself out where you had a hard time getting cell phone coverage?
Most of the places I go, I mean, it's pretty well smoke signals is your best option.
Yeah, you are kind of out there. And it also would be great if you had dependable coverage that you get with Patriot Mobile. While you were out there. And so it's one of our sponsors that we love. And the main reason we love them is because they love America and they're a Christian conservative wireless provider. They offer dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks. You get the coverage that you're used to without funding the left, which we love. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're letting everyone know you support free speech, religious freedom, and the sanctity of life, along with the Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responders. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team that makes switching to Patriot Mobile easy. You can keep your number and your phone, or you can upgrade. They've got the best deal and the best plan that fits your needs. Go to patriotmobile.com/Phil. Or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. You get free activation when you use the code PHIL. Join me and make the switch today, patriotmobile.com/PHIL. That's patriotmobile.com/PHIL. Or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. All right, so we're going to get back to Axe, Jace.
Good. Is that where we were at? Was Axe?
We were in Axe
16. I'm really excited about Axe 16 and 17.
So our last podcast that we were in Axe, we went through this sort of Gentile council, we're calling it, in 15, and we talked about how that the Gentiles now being welcomed in to what had been pretty much kind of a Jewish club the first 10 years, and I'm talking about Christianity, now all of a sudden it's going to create a lot of issues that are going on because the cultures are so different, the lifestyles are different. But basically, they got together and said, look, we can't add anything to the gospel, so we don't have to make people Jews to make them Christians. That's what they finally decided.
Yeah, and a Gentile, don't be, you know, that's one of Zach's words, but that's a biblical word.
Yeah.
It's everyone else.
Yeah, right.
So if you're either from Israel or you're everyone else.
Which is, and Jace, that's probably why that the Jews historically, and I don't mean just, you know, ancient Jews that we read about in the Bible, but for the last 2,000 years as well, are so disliked by so many people is because of their exclusive nature of who they are and their relationship with Yahweh. So, I mean, that people don't like them. I mean, it's always a constant thing. The Jews did this, the Jews did that. So, but it's because you have the Jews and everybody else. I mean, that's the mindset there. But this is very biblical, and this brought in these issues. So this all gets settled. They send a letter back to Antioch, which is kind of now, I would argue, it's sort of the Gentile church like Jerusalem. It's the one that's now spreading out. Paul's leaving from there, Paul and Barnabas, and they're doing this mission work. And so all that gets settled. And so now Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, and they're getting ready to go on another missionary journey, which you know, people call it the second missionary journey. And it's interesting because they're kind of mapping out what they're going to do, verse 36. I'm in Acts 15. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of God and see how they're doing. So Paul is saying, let's go do a little return trip to all those churches we planted.
I noticed that when some problems came up and they started teaching falsely, chapter 15, some men came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised, according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. In other words, just an outright lie. But they were doing it, and it was, as it turns out, it was their jobs to step in there and face that.
That's right. And they did it.
That still holds today.
Yeah. Well,
Jace, you were out there talking to one. He said, you know, I heard this, but, and he's giving you a little scenario here on something that's not needed. And it's not true, but he had it in his head. That's why he's questioning. Well, you better be ready with the answers.
Right. And in fact, we talked about this on the podcast when we dealt with this, but when you go back and read Galatians.
It's like this ever since Jesus showed up.
Yeah. When you go back and read Galatians, Paul was very pointed in what he said about trying to add something to the gospel.
Yep. Well, he was actually almost scary.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, if you preach a gospel other than one we shared, let him be eternally condemned. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I would say that's a little stronger than normal speech.
Eternally, not just condemned.
Don't do that.
What you do is, for these guys, if you knew you was going to meet any of these people, Jace, your hat, it's kind of what they were into. Just read the hat, and you'll find out who I am. And I don't read anything in here about circumcision at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's worthy of note on the Galatians passage. You know, you got to remember, this is not a one-time, like, it's not that somebody gets off on something, because we all do that, right? And we all kind of have had moments where, like, man, I'm teaching something that probably is not, you know, probably not in line with the truth of the gospel. You get rebuked, which is when you get rebuked, you should receive that. I mean, remember, Peter was rebuked by Paul.
Right.
And so to be rebuked is not something that should offend us. It's actually something that we should welcome into our life, and we should put ourselves in position to where people would tell us if we were out of line. But Peter was doing the very thing that Paul was like, hey, you preach this, if you're going to this gospel, let him be eternally condemned. But it's more of a full embracing of something that is other than Christ. We're all going to, on some level, struggle with making it about something other than Christ, because we want to contain it. That's just part of our human nature.
We shouldn't fear sticking with the gospel and the simplicity of it, because when these people come down, they said they brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. I mean, they went right at them when they said, you know, they had a rule, you had to be circumcised. They went right at them, say, nope, that is not right.
And it was obvious why, because this was a crucial point. God had said, now we're going to go and share the good news with all these Gentiles, everybody non-Jewish. So if we back up on that, we're going to say we have to make them Jews first. And that was
the way out.
Right. So they're about to go and make this second round. And in verse 37, Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with him. And John Mark has popped up, you know, several times in the book of Acts. It's Barnabas's cousin. So we got Ken involved here, so you got to watch out. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So, you know, him being young,
bailed out on us before. Like, we're not bringing this guy with us. You know, he's proven to be unstable. Which I love this, by the way, because this is the broken nature of how we operate on this side of heaven. And God still, you know, is his kingdom work is still going on.
Yeah.
Whether it's not dependent on us. I love that we're seeing.
I love that Luke put this in here, don't you?
I love it. Yeah. I'm like, because, I mean, if you've ever done ministry, like if you have not gotten in some kind of sharp dispute with someone that you're doing that you're in the tank with,
there are problems that will raise their heads.
They will.
And look, in this story, there's not a clear cut. I think they were both right. One of them is looking at a person who made a mistake and is saying, no, we need to give him another chance, which we all wrestle with that. And then Paul, who's saying, look, this is too important. This is the work of Christ. This is the mission. We can't take second chances on people that aren't with it. I mean, both of those are right. And so that's why the dispute was so sharp. So verse 39, they had such a sharp disagreement. And the Greek for that is, I mean, they had it out that they parted company. They were basically like, okay, well, I'm just doing my own thing. And well, I'm doing my thing. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthened the churches. So it is interesting. It was a negative in the sense they were arguing, but it was really a positive because now we got two teams.
And they went different ways. And so you think, well, just because you're in Christ with somebody, it does not mean that you got to lock arms and do ministry with them.
That's right.
And you could do separate ministries and still be doing the same ministry of Christ, which you see here. And I just think this relationship is so interesting because who was it that brought Paul to Antioch? I think it was Barnabas.
Yeah. He went to Tarsus and got him because remember, he was isolated. Yeah. He was like, nobody wants to work with Paul because you know why? He used to be Saul. So it's like, we don't want to work with that guy. But Barnabas, who is this encouraging, amazing person, the son of encouragement, says, I'm going to go to Tarsus and get Paul because we need him.
And I think for me, this is encouraging because I've been hurt and probably have hurt people in ministry, in church. And
no doubt I have.
And so I love this passage because it's like you want to hang on to that hurt. You want to hang on to whatever that is. But, man, people can – like you can go different ways. And there can be some issues even. And God still be working in the person who you had a disagreement with. And then you would say he could still be working in their ministry. And I love that because it points us back to what Jay said at the very beginning about what the book of Hebrews is about. Same thing the book of Acts is about. It ain't about us. It ain't about our ministry. It ain't about our what we perceive to be the truth. It is about who Christ is. It is about Jesus.
Well, one of the best things I learned about ministry came from actually Dad in my life growing up hunting ducks, and that is you need to have a duck's back. Ducks have fat that releases this oil. Their fat's really dense to repel water off of them because they're in the water. They're flying in it. They're swimming in it. So when you say rolls off a duck's back, there's a reason why it doesn't get in there and bother them. And that's exact that one phrase helped me more in ministry than anything else. Something would happen. I was like, you know what? I just need to have a duck's back. I just need to let that roll off because otherwise you stay in crisis all the time.
I carry it even further. I mean, I get a lot of flack sometimes because I go to churches where I don't agree with everything going on there. And I go, and I sing, and I meet people, and I speak at tons of churches that
Even know what they are, really.
I don't know, and I love them, And people are like, what are you doing? Because I realize that, in our growth and our maturity, some of the things we don't agree with, if they ask me, I'm going to tell them what I think. And because I love Jesus and because I love them, they're way more open than you cutting yourself off from the world and trying to throw rocks at them on issues.
Or start researching everything they think or put on their website before I decide to go there. I mean, my thing is, I'm going to go, when I go into places, Jace, I share what's right on your hat.
Me too.
I mean, so, and that's universal.
I don't know that is true.
I have it written on the board behind me, two different big thing behind me, what's on his hat. And I explained to him what that is.
There's a game or a little thing back in the 90s called 6 Degrees from Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, 6 Degrees of separation. I remember that.
Yeah, and the idea was that everybody's connected to Kevin Bacon through six. Like, I know someone knows someone that two who know. And I could connect. Anyone in the world can connect themselves to Kevin Bacon, the actor, through 6 degrees of people, and it's just kind of a funny little thing. But I think it might actually be true because now you see it on Facebook. Because you'll get on Facebook, which I don't have. I have a public account, but I don't have a private account anymore. But you get on there, and it would say so and so is friends with so and so, and you're like, how do they know each other? That's weird. You know what I mean? So you kind of see it now, but we're all connected. It's like this interconnected thing. And it's like, if you're connected in any way, if you speak at somebody's church, then that means that you believe everything they believe. But to Jace's point, I mean, like, you go wherever to preach the truth, and you don't have to vet the group that you're, I mean, who would have time?
Well, the reason we got asked is because we were on a TV show that a bunch of people liked. That had nothing to do with their, I mean, for the most part, I'm saying that's how we became known to people.
Well, and the denomination we came out of, think about this, when Phil started speaking, it wasn't in the Churches of Christ where he was speaking.
He was speaking everywhere. It was
Baptist churches.
Right. Anywhere.
That's true.
Anywhere.
Anywhere that would happen. Let's take another break. Jace, we talk a lot about fast-growing trees on our podcast because these guys are one of our sponsors. What do you think about fast-growing tree?
I have breaking news. I have a confession to make. This year, I hugged my first tree. I've always said that trees didn't need hugs, but I was treasure hunting at an old place, and there was a tree that was hundreds of years old. And I thought that would be a good place to keep all the treasures throughout the last 300 years. And so based on what I found around that tree, I kind of looked up and looked at that tree and thought, you know what? I'm going to make an exception here. And I went over there and I gave it a hug.
Your first tree hug, Jace, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Maybe you can go over to the tree huggers next. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. They've got 10,000 different kinds of plants. Lisa and I just ordered some stuff, and I'm going to tell you about when it gets here, what all we got, because we got some interesting things that are coming. And we enjoyed going online and shopping. It's very easy. They got a ton of different things, palm trees, evergreens, fruit trees, houseplants, whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. It's perfect for your climate, your space. They make it easy to order online, shipped directly to your door in 1 or 2 days. They have a 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, and they also offer plant consultation so that you're able to get whatever information you need 24/7 from them. You don't have to have a green thumb, but they will help you with the soil type, landscape design, and how to take care of your plants. So check them out. Hug a tree with Jace. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off all select plants and other deals. Listeners of our show, of Unashamed, get an additional 15% off with your first purchase when you use the code UNASHAMED at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code UNASHAMED at checkout. That's fastgrowingtrees.com. Use the code UNASHAMED. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
That's why I added, if you love people, you know, I mean, I meet people on the plains and different places, and they're, we get to know each other, and they're like, hey, come speak at our church, you know? And, you know, I got asked by a woman pastor at the event I was at to come speak at their church, you know? And you're like, well, why'd she ask you? Because we sat beside each other and we talked. She talked with my wife and I, and I was like, sure. Line it up. Let's line it up. I mean, that, I think if you love people and you love Jesus, you don't get into the weeds about, okay, well, let me see if you agree with everything that I agree with before I come and speak. Let's agree we're going to love Jesus. I'm going to speak about Jesus. We'll go from there. And we can discuss these other things. You know?
Well, we're, the four of us are doing a podcast together, and we don't agree on a lot of things that we're studying.
We've had robust discussion on a few of those.
We have robust discussion, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what I was going to say, it's implied, if you read the scholars, that even though they have this sharp disagreement, if you go to Colossians 4:10, which I think is interesting, it's probably a verse you've never read, but in this context, I think you see that it is implied that whatever the issue was, they worked it out, or they developed a love for each other despite the difference, because he wouldn't have said this. My fellow prisoner, whatever his name is, starts with an A there, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received the same Mark, huh?
Yeah, same guy.
Same guy. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. So there was definitely no animosity from what was going on. And I just think to the spirit of what we're talking about, because that makes people uncomfortable. We do have a sectarian nature just as human beings based on culture, which is what all this is about. Man, when we read that, when he said, Jesus is Lord of all, and we focused on that word all. We're better together. The body of the Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. You know, if one member is hurt, the rest of the body suffers. And you're like, what does that mean? If you stub your toe, you will notice it by the rest of your body's reaction.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, it's just a little toe, but there's nothing worse than stubbing your toe.
Most of the biggest arguments that I was involved in all my years of ministry, pastoral leadership, were usually over somebody who had made a mistake. And then it was, well, how do we use them going forward or in this moment? It was always, it was something just like this. I mean, this situation, a guy made a mistake. He's young. He shouldn't have bailed on him. He did. Paul doesn't want to use him. The other guy says he needs a second chance. I mean, that is the framework for most all arguments I had about trying to shepherd people. And you too, right, Dad? With it over and over and over again. But, so this is universal, and it's also stands the test of time.
But look, even I told about the three interactions I had with people that were bringing up issues that they felt like they disagree with at the moment. But I also had a pastor come up to me. Of course, he was whispering and he was looking behind both shoulders, which was funny. And he said, you know, I listen to y'all's podcast. I mean, this is a pastor at a church who seeks me out. And he's like, I got to tell you, brother, he said, I don't think we've been focused on Jesus. He said, I feel like after listening to y'all's podcast, we're cut off from the world. There's not many of us, and we're just trying to believe right. And I think we missed it. I think we missed what God has called us to do, and I just want to thank you for that. And we're going to make some changes, you know. And I thought those are the kind of things.
Was this at the event you were at?
Yeah, at the event. I'm telling you, it was a weird thing.
I've heard the same thing before, Jason. It's so encouraging to me to know that there's a lot of guys out there who are leading and who are fighting these fights we're talking about and live these disputes like we just described in Acts. And it seems like you're not getting anywhere, but you are. And you have to be diligent. But this pastor was right, Jace. If you can stay focused on Jesus, that's what I've noticed. You know, I'm getting to kind of preach in two eras of my life. In the second go-around, me not working for the church, but just kind of doing it as a volunteer, I've noticed I'm much more Jesus and Bible-centric than I was earlier. I was much more trying to be trendy and, you know, books that were popular and doing series, and you just kind of get caught up in all that. But, man, you got to stay focused.
Well, you get in, I think the sectarian part is you get into the, and I get it, it's you want the cover of the group, right? Because it's already hard enough to stand for Jesus in the public square. So I want to get in with a group that has a system, a systematic theology, which can be helpful in some regard, but then you get into the group and then they teach you all the phraseology back to Jason's point earlier. And then you repeat that. And then it's like, and you get backing if you stick to the group thing, but again, it's a flawed view of salvation because it's an assumption that this is primarily about getting the right belief system.
Yeah.
As opposed to coming into a relationship with the living God. That is not the same thing. And you can smell it and taste it in the conversation if all the conversation is about like some kind of like, belief system or that they'll have it all packaged up in the right way. And then you gotta believe this. But they're not talking about Jesus, the person of who he is, his divine nature, his beauty, his wonder, the peace of mind that surpasses all understanding, life in Christ, vibrancy, love, joy, peace, patience. You don't smell that in it. Where when you focus on the King, when you focus on the person of Christ and all these other things are, that's what the Bible says. Seek first what? The kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. But we want to flip it, and we think if we can get all the other things right, then the kingdom will be added unto us. That's not what it says. Seek first the kingdom, and then the other things get added unto you.
So, you know, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have ourselves a merchandise store these days. And merchandise is one of the ways that you tell people what you're into. We know that, Jace, we've come up with a lot of slogans that have wound up on T-shirts. We got friends that send us hats where they put the gospel on them. And all those things help you have discussions about things that matter to you. And right now, if you go to unashamedmerch.com, use our special promo code unashamed10, you're going to get 10% off the total of your order. And that could be our Love Always Protects T-shirts. It could be the blind mug. It could be the I Ride with King Jesus mug. Jace, you've got a mug there in front of you. And we want you to have that to be able to show people what's important to you. Also, there's some fun Blaze Media merchandise as well. They've got the Blaze Heritage Collection, the Patriotic Collection, the Blaze Media Collection. So check them out. There's a lot of fun and interesting things that can be conversation starters when you're out on the road. Head on over to unashamedmerch.com today. Use the promo code unashamed10 for 10% off your order. That's unashamedmerch.com. Be sure to use the promo code unashamed10 so you can get 10% off your order. Check them out.
I think their argument, though, is, because I had another interesting conversation with a guy. Their argument's going to be, because I agree with what you said, but they're going to say, because this is what this pastor told me, was, well, you got to rightly divide the word of truth. So they're like, they're not willing to be civil to other believers because they view that they're mishandling the Bible. They're like, well, we have to find out exactly what the Bible says. The problem with that approach is there's a lot in the Bible, and a lot of things are kind of hard to figure out exactly what it means. And I'm saying other than revealing who he is. And so that's why I always say the Bible's about Jesus, because I'm trying to get people to realize that things you may not agree on or maybe dead wrong on, let's be patient and study and learn and be civil during the process instead of saying, you got that wrong, you're out. So that would be my comeback to that.
Yeah, and I think that's what
showed. Pretty well is explained in Acts 15 on how they let it be known it's not right.
Yeah, for the issues that came up. The Gentiles were kind of what we read in Revelation.
Idolatry and the sexual immorality.
If you have any kind of idolatry in your life, in your practical life, in that case it was eating food that had been sacrificed to idols. They're like, you know, it's just not a good look. And which I agreed with. I mean, well, there's only one God, and that's who we are. So we're just not going to try to claim God as Savior and then live like the world.
I think that the sectarian nature, though, it's not to be a faithful witness of Christ. You can still hold firm to the truth and to separate truth and the truth of the Bible and to discuss very important issues in the text. That's one thing. The what separates the sectarian from that is the sectarian divides over it and divides families and uses it as a weapon for their own advancement of themselves. And so, you know, I've seen it in all kind of areas. And, like, you know, I love the deep discussions. I mean, I love them. I love to get into all the questions about God's divine foreknowledge and predestination and all that. I think it's edifying to a degree until you divide over it. And one of my favorite authors, I pulled up this quote because I think it hits right on the nose what we're saying. A.W. Tozier wrote this in The Pursuit of God. And I thought, man, this is so good. Because even in our audience, we have people that disagree on these issues. We have people who would disagree on what does predestination mean? What is God's divine sovereignty really mean? Listen to what Tozier writes. God will not hold us responsible to understand the mysteries of election, predestination, and the divine sovereignty. The best and safest way to deal with these truths is to raise our eyes to God and in deepest reverence say, O Lord, thou knowest. those things belong to the deep and mysterious profound of God's omniscience. Prying into them may make great theologians, but it will never make saints. And I thought, I read that for the first time. I thought, man, I want to have that humility when I am going into discuss who God is. I just can only access a little bit of who he is. And I don't want to carry this false confidence into discussion with people that I've got it all figured out, when the best I can do, the very best I can do, is with the deepest reverence say, Lord, thou knowest. That's what I can do.
No, that's good. Well, I love that Luke put this in here about the dispute, because I think he is showing us some greater truths from these early incidents with the church and how Jesus still motivates us. The next story does the same thing. It's one of my favorites because it introduces Timothy, who we know we've got these letters that Paul wrote in 1st and 2nd Timothy, which are some of the, some really good stuff about lifestyle and, you know, what our purpose is. And it's the same thing. I think Luke is showing us that along the journey, especially as we get older, I mean, all of us are getting older. Zach, you're the youngest of our four here, that we realize our role begins to be what we pass on for other people to take beyond us.
Yeah.
And so that's this young guy. So obviously Timothy was, when the first time Paul came through with Barnabas in Derbe and Lystra, Timothy was part of a family. His mother, her name was Eunice, and the grandmother is Lois. We read about them in 2 Timothy 1:5. And Paul has a real affinity because these were Jews that he encountered that first time through, probably at the, you know, after he taught at the synagogue, and they became believers. And so Timothy, who I'm imagining being like a teenager, something, you know, young man for sure, you know, his dad was a Greek. And so the Acts account here kind of brings in the circumcision thing because, and we mentioned this before, because Paul, who wants to take him with him, wants him to have access to the synagogues and to Jewish hearers. So he circumcises him because he hadn't been circumcised because he had a Jewish father, a Gentile father.
And just think about that practically, Al. So, you know, they had had the struggle of the Jews saying, well, I'm not even sure you can be my wife.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can make it to heaven.
Right. Exactly.
You know, just think about those, or did I have that backwards?
Yeah. It was she was Jewish and he was Greek. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that had to be a challenge in that family.
Of course it was a challenge.
Because she had to realize, oh, the Gentiles can be saved too. Because up until that point, no.
Right.
So you're marrying someone.
And now even Timothy's future in going with Paul is shaped up in whether he was circumcised or not. So you can see where those issues would be there. Let's take our last break.
Which is what I thought was probably a way for their family to get over some of these rifts that they had in right. the past that you know had to have come up.
They did. And I don't know, maybe that's why Paul was drawn to this situation. Maybe he just saw something in Timothy. But here's what got me. When I was researching for this, and there were several verses in 1 Timothy mostly, where Paul shows a real affinity and love for Timothy. I mean, it's like, it's more than just, you know, because Paul was single. He didn't have kids, but, you know, he views this guy as somebody to take under his wing and teach him and train him to be able to do what he's doing. And
he actually called him his son.
My son in the faith.
Like twice.
Yeah.
He says it in the first chapter.
So here's what got me. And I may have told this story before, but I'm not sure if I have. Whenever Bill Smith, who was the guy that Dad mentioned earlier in the podcast, who led him to Jesus and did it with these symbols Jace has on his hat today, he was a guy I worked with in my 25 years of ministry before he crossed over in 2016, and he had told me, he said, he was very disappointed when I left full-time ministry, you know, because, I mean, he really was close to me. He called me son all the time, a son, just like Paul did, but it was we're not related other than by the blood of Christ. And so he had told me he wanted me to speak at his funeral. He made that clear to his family. And I took it as such an honor because this man taught thousands and thousands of people and discipled them. So when Lisa and I were working a cruise and it was a Christian a cruise, and we were working it. And when we left a port, I got a call that he had crossed over. And I said, well, it's going to be a couple of days before I get back. No problem. So I sat down because they'd asked me to speak. And I started trying to think, what am I going to say? This is my mentor. This is a guy that taught me pretty much everything I know in the Bible. I felt very unworthy trying to figure something out. And so I just closed my Bible and I thought, I don't know, I'll just have to come back to this. So I prayed about it. And you know what hit me? And then when this hit me, then I just sat down and wrote out my whole presentation I did at his funeral. What would Timothy say at Paul's funeral? Because that's the kind of relationship that I had with Bill. He was my Paul. And so, and I just sat down, I brought it today because rereading it was really interesting. And I saw, man, somebody that gives you so much spiritual insight and wisdom that then you get to go and share, and that becomes part of your life. And every one of us needs somebody in our life like that, that has that sort of relationship. So, I mean, I'm just very thankful for a guy like Bill, but I thought about it. I know Timothy was the exact same way about Paul and the opportunities that he gave him to be able to do that.
It is interesting that the end of chapter 15 of book of Acts about sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we're writing. It seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond following requirements. They're trying to help these people. You're to abstain from food sacrificed to idols. Don't do that. From blood. They were still with that blood that they got out of the Old Testament, out of the law. From the meat of strangled animals and from sexual immorality. All he says is, you'll do well to avoid these things.
Yeah.
So just don't do that.
Well, I like it because it wasn't like
they were there and they could have been mean to them, but they said, look, here's some things here you need to don't do these things.
Yeah.
And then on their way, farewell, it says, they went on their way.
Well, so much of that gets brought up again in all the letters because all you can do is try and encourage people to do the right thing.
Yeah, they weren't mean about it.
No, the biggest problem church leaders have is they think they can make people do the right thing. You can't. People have to decide. This is a volunteer army.
That's it.
You've got to decide. All you're trying to do is lay out the best possible scenarios.
You know, it gets into disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. I
mean, it just goes right on, right?
So you got friction here, a little friction here, there.
Right.
It's just a tough thing to do, Al.
It is. And so I think having people that can show you and lead by example, can teach you, can lead you, can keep pointing back to Jesus. That's the sort of relationship that Paul has with Timothy. And we should all have those, and we should strive to be that. When people say, I mean, a lot of times you just think, well, man, I just don't seem to be growing in Christ. I always say, well, who are you impacting with Christ and for Christ? Because that's the whole thing. I mean, this should be a constant part of your life. There should be people that are helping mentor you, and people you are helping mentor, because everybody's on different wavelengths, you know, in Christianity. So that's what I love about this story. It's about a guy, and it shows you the personal nature of being a disciple and what that looks like. And so, you know, I think that's important for us to realize as we look at that. And you go and read 1 and 2 Timothy, you see some great challenges in there for him to be able to do. So anyway, he runs up on him. It says he wanted to take him on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for all they knew that his father was a Greek. So he wanted him to have access into these Jewish audiences, which he would have because his mother was Jewish, but he wasn't circumcised. That's why he did it. Although, what is it? In Galatians 2, he says that Titus was compelled not to be circumcised because he was a Greek as well. So it shows you that Paul used contextually even this contentious issue to be able to reach people. And I think, Zach, you brought it up. Where is it? Where 1 Corinthians 9, all things to all men, the gospel can be preached. So as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So, Dad, that was your point. They took the letter with them, and they shared. They said, look,
that's right.
These elders in Jerusalem, they think it's good to stay away from this stuff. You know, these idols and the blood and the sexual immorality. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. And it was interesting because, Jace, I looked at that, the Greek phrase there, the churches were strengthening the faith. It's the same word we would use if someone is like a, you know, when they kind of go from middle school to high school, you kind of got that baby fat that goes to muscle and you kind of watch a young man become a man. That's the same Greek thought there. And I thought it was interesting because as faith strengthens, so does size. And what happens is it get larger because it starts impacting people of the region. So that's the idea of it. So as he's going back through, that's what happens. Then I'll introduce this next thought because we don't have much time left. When we get to verse 6, he's going to go to Asia is where he's headed. But something interesting happens, and I'm just going to read it, and we'll have to talk about most of it in the next podcast. Paul and his companions travel through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So we'll talk about what does that mean. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So that's the second time they've been rebuffed. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Now, if you looked at this on a map, they're just kind of running out of real estate. Now they're back to the sea. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So that's what's going to get them to Philippi, which will get us to Lydia and then the Philippian jailer and everything that happens going forward. But it was kind of an interesting way that that happened with they were blocked twice. It doesn't say what happened. I mean, it just said the Holy Spirit wouldn't let them do it.
But I do think the point is, because a lot of people now, modern day, say, well, these things are still happening. And look, maybe there is. I mean, the more I'm a follower of Jesus, the less I believe in accidents. And you see a lot of divine encounters, I think, with people. But in this case, it was getting the message out. Because it's like this was all about getting the gospel of Jesus declared.
Right.
And there seems to be a lot of supernatural occurrences that are happening to confirm that idea.
Yeah.
And you are trying to let all cultures know that Jesus is available and the Holy Spirit is available. So I do think there's something in that of a confirmation of this happening. Because, you know, you think, was this happening audibly?
Right.
Because today, you know, you fast forward and I just run up on a lot of people that God is telling them to do this and God is telling them to do that and don't do this. But a lot of this stuff, you're thinking, I'm not sure God's telling you that.
Yeah.
You know, right. So I don't think it's about hearing voices. I think if you put as the priority, what are we called to do? We're called to declare Jesus and participate in kingdom ventures today. And we have the Holy Spirit. So how is the Holy Spirit helping us? What are the things we can agree on that's happening? You know, when we pray, when we meditate, you know, when we fast, when we have conversations with people about spiritual things, with spirit-filled people, and these things are occurring. I'm just trying to say, don't always think that you have to hear some voice talking to you. We do have the Bible now, which they didn't.
Well, look, we've been hearing voices going on here. I mean, Paul heard one on the road to Damascus, right? So it seems very vague, and I think it's vague for a reason, is that things weren't working out, so Paul assumed the Holy Spirit is saying, we don't need to go over there. It's not that it was some big production. It was just the idea. Yeah. It doesn't seem to work out. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to go. And then they get a vision that says, come here. So, I mean, I think it's as easy
as that. Well, I got asked when I was at the movie, because the movie, The Unsung Hero, there's a lot in there about they were calling things miracles. And it was just, it was more occurrences that were happening.
Right.
That they felt, you know, was a sign from God, but it was through answered prayer. And they actually say that in the movie.
Yeah.
And I said, we got to remember, people use the word miracle. It's a tough word to define. You know, there were miracles that happened in the Bible that defied laws of nature and physics. But all of life is a miracle, from crops coming out of the ground to, I mean, you see the presence of God just in the way things work.
Yeah.
And so I said, I think in the light of the context they were using that word, I thought it was a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, they just realized that even though they were struggling, that these things kept happening, that there was no rational explanation. Now, it wasn't a miracle as far as a breaking of the law of nature that proved that Jesus was the Christ.
But it was little subtle things that kept pointing them back to why they were doing what they were doing.
So they called it a miracle. I'm fine with that. Yeah. I mean, it is supernatural working of God.
It was a recognition of their faith. All right, we're out of time. We'll pick it up here. We got some cool stuff coming up in 16 and 17 here, so we'll get to it next time on Unashamed.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.